I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
St. Paul said in that great 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, "We know that for those who love God, everything works together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose." Everything works for good? Everything? It's hard to believe that everything could include heart attacks, earthquakes, human failure, AIDS, along with ruined lives and death itself. Those things work together for good? Is this just some more thinking that begins with every cloud having a silver lining?
That is a very familiar voice to many, although has not been heard for decades. The voice of 20th century Lutheran Hour speaker Oswald Hoffman in a sermon that was called When Bad Things Happen. What can we learn as both preachers and especially as hearers of sermons from the preaching of Oswald Hoffman? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to answer that very question, Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column for Concordia Pulpit Resources titled Devices and Structure in the Radio Sermons of Oswald Hoffman. Ken, welcome back.
Hey there, Todd.
If you would, introduce us to this man, Oswald Hoffman.
Oswald Hoffman was a real Renaissance man. Born in 1913, if memory serves, the very end of the year, his birthday was almost at the very end of December. Went on to be a college professor at both Bethany Lutheran College and at Concordia College in Bronxville. He taught music, he taught English, he taught Greek and Latin at Bronxville, and he did that for, about 12 years, and then it's like he had a whole nother career. He became the public relations director for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the office for public relations for the Synod at that time was in New York City, so he was in New York from 1948 to 1963, and almost smack dab in the middle of that time, in 1955, he became the Lutheran Hour speaker. And that, of course, is the capacity that most people remember Oswald Hoffman in to this day. I mean, apart from Walter A. Meyer, who was the founding speaker on the Lutheran Hour, probably still to today, the one who is identified most with the program in historical memory is Oswald Hoffman, and for good reason, because Oswald Hoffman was the speaker on the Lutheran Hour for 33 and a half years, and that's far longer than anyone else who has had that position. He was in the position almost twice as long as Walter A. Meyer. So he did all kinds of things. In addition to that, he was a Greek scholar, as I said, teaching Greek and Latin classics at Concordia Bronxville. He was the president of the United Bible Societies, was on their translations committee. A multifaceted career, really.
How would you describe in general terms the structure of Hoffman's preaching?
Well, now see, that's the sticking point here, Todd, because a lot of people would immediately respond to that by saying, "You got to be kidding." Structure. An Oswald Hoffman sermon did not have what might be called an obvious structure. I like to say trying to outline an Oswald Hoffman sermon is trying to outline, well, the Gospel of John or the First Epistle of John. I'm not sure what was Oswald Hoffman's favorite book of the Bible, but it may well have been John, because he tended to preach in a style that kept repeating itself, kept coming back again and again and again. sometimes covering the same territory, just from a slightly different perspective in, say, the next 3 minutes of the sermon than it had in the first 3 minutes of the sermon. It was a kind of a circular, a cyclical style, but always with a bit of a forward movement. But this could be frustrating for the radio listener. Well, if the radio listener was really trying to discern an outline. On the other hand, for radio preaching, the lack of an obvious outline, of an obvious structure, may have served Oswald Hoffman well. Because when the preacher has established a pretty clear line of direction and you have a sense of the fact that the sermon has covered all the territory that he has staked out and it's kind of winding down, you have the sense, okay, it's going to conclude here. Well, an Oswald Hoffman sermon just sort of kept going on and on and on. There was always more gospel where that came from, and he was proclaiming it again and again and again in a sermon. And for the radio listener, again, I know none of your listeners do this, Todd, but radio listeners do sometimes have their attention wander, and they tune out what's being heard on the radio for a minute or two, but you tuned back in and you could really very easily pick up where Hoffman left off because he was coming around the bend making the same point again that you had just heard, and the fact that you had missed a couple of minutes wasn't that big a deal.
What was he doing when he began so many of his sermons with a prayer?
An Oswald Hoffman sermon, I would say in 99.9% of the cases, began with prayer. I mean, the first words that you would hear out of his mouth when the announcer introduced him was a prayer. That is not unlike, at least generally speaking, what happened with Walter A. Meyer, the original First Lutheran Hour speaker. But Dr. Meyer would typically pray a prayer for the listeners as they listened to the sermon, for the reach of the gospel through the airwaves with this sermon, or even asking God's blessing for himself as he was about to launch into preaching the sermon. Those were not the kinds of things that Oswald Hoffman talked about in his opening prayers. The opening prayers in an Oswald Hoffman sermon had to do with the subject matter of the sermon itself. They were sort of based upon the sermon, even before people heard the sermon. In a way, this was about as close as Oswald Hoffman came to announcing a theme for the sermon. It was in that prayer that you heard before the sermon itself got started. And in my estimation, it would have been better if he had saved that prayer based upon the sermon for the very end after people had heard it all. And I dare say most radio producers today would say to him, no, you don't start with a prayer that pretty much has to be heard by people who know what you've talked about. You don't start with that. But you know, he did, and nobody stopped him. And it didn't become a great problem after about 30 seconds, which is what those prayers typically took. They weren't long. He would launch into the sermon itself. And he still had the attention of the listeners at that point.
Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. We're talking about the preaching of 20th century Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Oswald Hoffman. He didn't rely much on what I call extra-biblical stories. Why, and how did he still invite the listeners in? I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Overnight, the world has become a strange place. The abnormal has become the new normal.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Every faithful little church is an ark of salvation. With Christ on board, we will get safely to the other side. Be of good courage.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Ken Cherb is our guest. We're talking about the preaching of 20th century Lutheran Hour speaker Dr. Oswald Hoffman. Ken, he did not rely much on extra biblical stories in his preaching, but how did he nonetheless achieve what pastors usually use those stories for in a sermon?
Yeah, this is an interesting point because you're right. It's not that Oswald Hoffman never told an extra biblical story. I mean, just about all preachers do that at one time or another. But I like to say it this way. You can usually think of an Oswald Hoffman sermon in retrospect after you've heard it. And if somebody says, well, that one illustration there, if that wasn't there, if that had been left out, if he had written it a different way, would you have missed it? And unlike a lot of sermons that you hear and I hear today, and a lot of sermons that I've preached, I got to tell you, those Oswald Hoffman sermons probably wouldn't be any the worse for not having those little stories that he told. But what Hoffman did to invite people in, which is the typical thing that preachers are trying to do by telling stories, by giving illustrations, both biblical and extra-biblical illustrations, was his very form of repetition. He invited the listener, he grabbed the listener, and he pulled the listener along by his constant dinning in of the basic idea that he was trying to get across that day.
You say that repetition was an important feature of his preaching. How was that?
Well, I kind of already said it. Hoffman would repeat himself, but never slavishly. At times, he would repeat a certain word or a phrase. If it was a short biblical text, he might repeat the biblical text, almost to the point where you'd say it's excessive. He's saying this almost too much. But it wasn't just a constant dinning in of one particular set of words. It was a movement of thought in which he would circle around the same thought and would say it again and again in different ways. This was, as I think I indicated before, in many ways the great strength of Hoffman's preaching, because it meant that listeners whose minds had wandered always had a point at which to rejoin the sermon, and it wouldn't be that different from the last thing they could remember from when they were really listening intently.
How did Hoffman preach law and gospel?
With the law, he was really cagey, and I think this is something that preachers can learn a great deal from today. Now, what I'm about to say here will not be the case in every single one of Oswald Hoffman's sermons. But from the ones I've studied, I've seen this happening a lot. Early on in the sermon, he would talk about the circumstances, the kind of conditions of existence that sin and everything that sin has brought into the world imposes upon the human race. And at that point, without using this word, Hoffman would kind of be depicting the listeners, along with himself, as victims. These are the terrible consequences that sin has brought into the world. This is the kind of thing that happens in families, in churches, in nations, in the individual lives of people. These are the kinds of things that happen when sin reigns. Here's what sin is doing to us, is in effect what he was saying. But then later on, he would loop back and he would proclaim the law in a much more pointed way, not talking so much about the listeners in the sense of being victims, but more with the real bite of the law, saying, this is your fault. This is your failing. This is your rebellion against God. Here's what you deserve for that. It was a strong proclamation of the law. And so there really was, although you might not catch it if you're not paying too much attention. And I got to say, it's much easier to catch this if you see the sermon written out rather than just listening to it with your ear. But you see that there is a kind of an amping up of the way he's proclaiming the law. First, he's trying to sort of generate sympathy among the listeners with him and with everybody else for all the bad things that sin is doing to us. But then he would make the point, this is the fault of the sinner, and there is no evading it. You are the man, that kind of thing. That's how he would proclaim the law, but he would very often not come right out of the box with the law. Very often, there was some kind of an encouraging word. If it wasn't gospel full force, it was at least gospel-ish at the beginning. And he thought that that was important because you had to kind of keep the listener hanging on. If they just heard right out of the box about all the terrible things in the world or about their own guilt or something like that, they might not be prone to listen for very long. So he would give a kind of a hint of the gospel or an adumbration of the gospel early on and intersperse it throughout and then come back at the end with usually his strongest expression of it. And by the way, that expression very often could take the form of his just repairing to the biblical text that he was preaching on or some other text from the Bible that put the gospel in a verse or two or three of Scripture, and he would paraphrase that. Greek scholar that he was, he would bring out the nuances of that in the Greek. It was sort of like he was quoting the Bible, and he certainly was, but he was quoting it in a way you hadn't quite heard it before. He was sort of embedding actual biblical expression of the gospel into the sermon at that point. And he did that in a way the like of which I just have not heard from any other preacher, I don't think.
So is that how the gospel came to predominate in Hoffman's preaching?
Well, yeah, it predominated because of those strong expressions, but it also predominated by the sheer repetition. He kept coming back to it again and again. That was, and I think is, a model that preachers can learn a lot from today, particularly events that are highly celebratory in nature. Obviously, this is a good style for preaching at Easter, but also at weddings. You could even make this kind of a style work for a funeral, I would think, where people need to hear again and again that my Redeemer lives.
We're talking with Dr. Ken Cherb about the preaching of 20th century Lutheran Hour speaker Oswald Hoffman. He's author of a column for Concordia Pulpit Resources titled Devices and Structure in the Radio Sermons of Oswald Hoffman. Every edition of the Issues Etc. Journal has a feature we call the Wittenberg Trail feature, where someone tells their story about their journey to Lutheran theology. Well, this one comes from Dr. Nancy Almodovar, coming from Reformed theology to Lutheran theology. There's also an article in there that I've written about closed communion. You can subscribe absolutely free to the online Issues Etc. Journal. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we'll send it to you. Stay tuned.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
We're talking to Dr. Ken Sherb about the preaching of 20th century Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Oswald Hoffman. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. In about 5 minutes, we'll respond to your questions about COVID-19. Our guest will be virology expert and LCMS layman, Dr. Nicholas Wolgemuth of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Ken, how would you describe the strengths and the weaknesses of Hoffman's preaching?
Well, the strengths were, among other things, his voice. His voice was kind of unique. It was gravelly and yet inviting. It was gruff and yet it could be very tender. He could be loud. He could be stentorian. But you always knew that he was talking to you. And Todd, as you well know, that is the secret of all secrets of radio communication. It's not like the days of Walter A. Meyer, which were also the days of Franklin Roosevelt, and you've seen all the pictures of people gathered around the radio listening to a fireside chat by FDR. Well, already by Hoffman's time, people were not gathering and listening to the radio in groups. They were by themselves, and they were doing something else. That voice was really an arresting thing for them. I remember the first program director I ever worked for in radio back in 1978. He had heard lots of religious broadcasts, good and bad, but the Lutheran Hour, he told me, was easily his favorite. And the thing that first attracted him to the Lutheran Hour with Oswald Hoffman was the voice quality of Oswald Hoffman. He said, if I get to heaven and God doesn't sound like Oswald Hoffman, I'm going to be disappointed. But see, it didn't end there. He was listening also to what the voice was saying. And it was that message of law and gospel, week after week, strongly put and also tenderly put. I mean, I will make the statement that, in my estimation anyway, Oswald Hoffman still is the most capable radio preacher, just in terms of sheer delivery, that the Missouri Synod has yet produced. And we've had some good ones before and since. But Hoffman, especially over a 33-year career, honing his craft, getting experience and doing it all the time, was extremely good. So a great strength was his voice quality, but also his sheer determination to preach Christ and Him crucified and press that home again and again. Now, you also ask about weaknesses. One weakness you might be what we said before. You couldn't necessarily discern a clear theme and hardly ever a clear line of direction in a Hoffman sermon. And those can be helpful things. There's a reason why homiletics professors teach students to make those things very clear to their hearers, because they can help the hearers in the act of listening. And Hoffman didn't always give that particular kind of help. Another thing is that he had a tendency in some sermons to talk about faith always in heroic terms. These are the things that faith does, or these are the things that faith leads you to do, the courage that faith inspires, the risks that faith will take. That all has its place, and that all is biblical, but I think it could tend at times to overshadow the sheer receptivity of faith. You know, when Jesus compares faith to eating the bread of life or drinking the water of life, it's not doing anything at that point. It's simply receiving what God has to give in Christ and in his gospel.
Finally then, Ken, how are Hoffman's sermons preached decades ago relevant to the current coronavirus crisis?
Well, of course, the word of the Lord endures forever. Oswald Hoffman had never heard of the coronavirus, and nobody in his audience had ever heard of it or really anything quite like it. But he preached sermons on subjects that would be of great interest today, both comforting sermons, sermons that talk about the need for perseverance in the faith, clinging to the promises of God, the assurance that in Christ, God has his hand right on you and he's not going to let you go. But also sermons about prayer, sermons warning people about the presence and the power of the devil, sermons talking about the need and the opportunity for Christians to love their neighbor. And I thank you for setting me up to say this, Todd. I put together a little list of, about 25, 26, 27 of Oswald Hoffman's classic sermons preached between, say about 1973 and 1988, the last 15 years of his career on the Lutheran Hour. And those are available. I think you're going to make them available so people can actually click on a link and listen to them. These sermons have been digitized by Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne with the permission of the Lutheran Layman's League. So they are there for people to use at just a time like this.
You can listen to some of Dr. Oswald Hoffman's sermons on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Ken Cherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column for Concordia Pulpit Resources titled Devices and Structure in the Radio Sermons of Oswald Hoffman. Ken, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. The Lord be with you in these trying times and with all of our listeners.
We will be getting answers to your questions about COVID-19 from Dr. Nicholas Wolgemuth right after the break. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is for children ages 4 through 7. See My Savior's Hands is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Learn more about See My Savior's Hands at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. See how Jesus' hands tell the story of his life, death, resurrection, and love for us in See My Savior's Hands, a great Easter gift for young children, grandchildren, and godchildren. See My Savior's Hands.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.